Michael O'Brien says on Jackson Walter begins with the Malacha of Havara. There are 39 Malachas on Shabbos and Yantif. And one of the Malachas is Havara. Havara is not only if you strike a match and you create a fire, but there is a fire and you throw in some more fuel and you cause that to burn. It's also a violation of Havara. On Yantif we distinguish, on Yantif, the Mishnah says that you're permitted to do Havara L'tzorech Ochal Nefesh, but to be more L'reish Mepadosh, to strike a match, that's not permissible. The Taz in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch assumes that to strike a match on Yom Tov is a biblical prohibition. So they said the Raisa based on a diuk that he has from a Rambam, and the Taz's opinion has not been accepted. We assume that striking a match on Yom Tov is only the Rabbanan. And in our Torah, it's really mut if you need it. So let's say if the wife forgot to bench licht on Yontif, an air Yontif or something, and then it's dark in the room, and how can you eat? You can't eat in the room in the dark, you won't enjoy it. So they ask Nochri, in America we have Nochri. The next day, there's a Nochri. So if they ask a Nochri to turn on the light in Yontif, it's considered a shluz neshluz, because if I myself had turned on the light, it would only give me Seder Rabbanan on Yontif, because it's Lotzorcha Chonefesh, I want to see what I'm eating. But to ask a nachrit to turn on a light would be a shvus to shvus, which is prohibited. But a shvus to shvus malacha mitzvah would be mutar. That's a quite. So there's a malacha of havar. So the Maharsham was one of the major poskim in the beginning of the late 1800s, early 1900s. He was of the opinion that turning on a light on Shabbos cannot possibly be a biblical prohibition. Can only be a derabbanan. Why only derabbanan? Because the Gemara says, how do we establish which are the Lama Tesovis Malachas? So the Gemara says in the first daf of Bava Kama that the Havid and Mishkam Chashiva Korele Abduchum says there's a mitzvah to build a Mishkan, but you shouldn't construct the Mishkan on Shabbat. It says a few times like that. So that's how the Chachamim established, that's how the Torah Shabbat Peh established what is considered a Malacha. Whatever was a significant activity that was necessary for Tatsias HaMishkan is considered a non-Malach. Whatever was not actually in the Mishkan, but it's sufficiently similar to what was in the Mishkan, is considered a toldah. So the Marsham had a chiddush that turning on an electric bulb on Shabbos cannot be a malacha deraisa, because they didn't have electric bulbs in the days of the Mishkan. The only thing that would be a malacha deraisa as a toldah was something that's similar to what was in the Mishkan. It existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the days of the Mishkan, so it's represented by what was done in the Mishkan. But if the electric bulb didn't exist at all in the days of the Mishkan, so that can't possibly be a malacha deraisa. Maximum, it's only nisa derabbanan. Chaim Moisev didn't agree with the Marsham's chiddush. Marsham was known as a big maker. In the introduction to the Darkei Tshuva, the Minkacha has a Darkei Tshuva on Yeridei. He quotes a likut of all the Hungarian achrayim, and he quotes all the achrayim on Yeridei. So in the introduction, he says he's going to quote Marshams, but you have to take it with more than a grain of salt. You have to take it with a pound of salt, and not take all the kulis. The Marsham was known as a tremendous maker. So Rabbi Chaim Moisev was in disagreement with the Marsham. What does it have to exist in the days of the Mishkan? The Rambam writes that one who heats metal till it glows is in violation of Mavir. That's an act of Havara. If you heat metal and it's burning hot, but let's say you have an electric stove, and you have the coils are black. So if you turn on the fire low, if you turn on the electricity low, it's still going to be black. If you put your finger there, you'll burn your finger. Put a piece of paper, it'll probably start burning. But it's not orange, it's black. If you turn the electric flow of electricity higher, then the black coils will be orange. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his Sefer, you're not allowed to be moiled esh mechadosh on Yontov. So even let's say if the electricity is on, but the coils are black, and you want to make it higher because it's not high enough to cook the soup or whatever you want to cook, so you turn on the electricity more, and instead of being black, now it's orange. That he considers that moiled esh mechadosh. And if you have but let's say the coils are orange and you make it higher, so there already is an esh. That's not boiled esh. He's lighting a flame from the flame that already exists. So let's say the electric coils are on and it's orange and you want to make it lower because your soup is going to burn the way it is now. So he says if you turn the electricity lower, now it's black, that'll be mechada. they did an act of kippur. So it could be they keep his mutter the tzarchach on nefesh on yantiv. That's possible. That's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. But Rashi says to turn the electricity higher and to make the coils from black to orange is moled eish. That's havara. Because just because electricity is flowing in the coils and it's burning hot, you burn your finger on it, but there is no eish over there. The Rambam says, "Chamim and samateches." If you heat metal till it glows, so then it's called eish. Then it's called havar. Rav Chaim Moshe disagreed with the Masham. He thought that turning on an electric bulb on Shabbos is a malach of havar deraisa. It's interesting. For many years, the only source for this was the non haskama. There was a big Talmud Chacham in Switzerland after the war. He wrote the Chelkas Yaakov, Rabbi Breisch. So in the beginning of the first volume has a lot of haskamas on his Shailos HaTshuvos. So amongst all of the haskamas, he has a letter from Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, who writes, "I can't give a haskama on your sefer because I used to be a Rav in Slutsk. When I was a Rav in Slutsk, I had a Paskin Shailos. But that was my field, Paskin and Shailos. So it makes sense that I should give a haskama on a sefer Shailos HaTshuvos. But now that I left Europe," he moved to Yerushalayim. He was the head of the Yeshiva Eitz Chaim in Yerushalayim. So now that's no longer his field. He doesn't pass Shabbos anymore, just gives Pilpulim. So he can't give a Haskama on the Sefer. What kind of baloney is it? What is it? It's Galatiana Chubas. That's what he meant to say. He doesn't like the Chubas. He didn't like the Chubas. So he gave a whole teretz. It's not his field anymore. Well, it's not, it's the same field. Rani Gemar, Paskin Shabbos, Open Shulchan Aruch, it's all the same field. So he says, I can't give a haskama on your sefer because I'm not in that field anymore. But one thing you should know, that in the early years when they first started with electric bulbs, so several of the gedolim were of the opinion that it's permissible to turn on lights on yontif. They thought that it's not moled eish mechor. They thought moled eish mechor is only if you strike a match like that. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes this with the Ksav Sefer, that if you take, a match and you put the match to black coals, the coals are burning. If you put your finger on, you'll burn your finger. But the coals are not orange, the coals are black. But it's hot enough that if you put the tip of the match on, it'll turn into a flame. So the Ksav Sefer says he remembers as a child that many say that that's permissible on Shabbos, that on Yom Tov, that that's not called Moiled Eish Mechorosh. Moiled Eish Mechorosh is only if you strike the match. So based on that, there were several Rabbanim, when they first came out with electric bulbs, there were Rabbanim who felt that you're permitted to turn on the lights on Yom Tov. You can't turn them off. You're allowed to turn them on. That's Rabbi Soloveitchik, Zichron al-Brach, he used to do like that in the early years. He used to turn, whenever he needed a sefer on Yom Tov, whenever he needed something, he would turn on the light, and he would turn on the light, and the whole house was not lit up. Then he couldn't turn off any lights. So it's a mavir. Mavir you're allowed to do. It's not Moiled Eish Mechorosh, but mechavir you can't do. Then later on, he decided to do like everybody else holds, that turning on a light on Yom Tov is Moiled Eish Mechorosh, just because there's an electric current over there going. But there's still stuff, because of it's Moiled Eish Mechorosh, there's no Eish now, there's just a current, and you're hooking up with the current. So the Chelkas Yaakov, in the first volume of Tshuva, he has a Tshuva, he's Mitzadeh Lehokel, about turning on lights on Yom Tov, then he says, Ubefrat, especially because the Marsham is of the opinion that turning on lights on Shabbos is only a malocha derabbanan anyway, because electric bulbs didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan, so there can't be an Issa deraisa. So Rabbi Zalman Meltzer writes, I can't give a haskama on your sefer because I'm not in the field anymore. I don't pass on any shilas. I'm not a practicing rabbi. The rabbinate, I'm teaching yeshiva now. But I want you to know that you wrote, you mitzarf the Marsham, to turn on bulbs on Yom Tov, you should know Rabbi Chaim Moiser disagrees with the Marsham. He holds that it's a malacha deraisa, the light bulb. So that was the non-haskama that he gave. So for many years, that was the only source that people knew in writing, that people knew that Rabbi Chaim Moiser held that turning on a bulb on Shabbos was a malacha deraisa. Rabbi Soloveitchik told us that he remembered when he visited by Rabbi Chaim Moiser, when he was in Berlin in the university, he used to go specially to Vilna to talk and learning with Rabbi Chaim Moiser. He says it was the most frustrating experience, that he had worked his head off to come up with a big chiddush, and he told Rabbi Chaim Moiser this razzle dazzle chiddush. Rabbi Chaim Moiser had a big library, so he'd climb up on a ladder, pull off his sefer from the top shelf, and said, "Yeah, it says it right over here." Every time he said a big chiddush that he worked on, and he thought it was so original, Rabbi Chaim Moiser pulled out a sefer, hidden it somewhere in his library, "Yeah, it says it over here." It was a big booking all the time. So Rav Soloveitchik said he remembered personally that Rav Chaim Moiser used to be medactic to say Bar Mir Ha'esh Avdolah over an electric bulb to demonstrate to the public that he doesn't agree with the Marsham. They hold that it's Mamish Esh. that it's Havar Daraisa, it's Mamashesh, and you can recite Bar Mehoesh on an electric bulb. Just as a footnote, you can only recite Bar Mehoesh on an electric bulb if it's not frosted. Because the Gemara says you have to be able to see the filament. If you have a cover on top and you can't see it, if it's a frosted bulb, you can't see. I live in Washington Heights. Rabbi Breuer was the rabbi in Breuer's community till the age of 98. He passed away at 98. And he was a Sagi Nohar the last few years of his life. So in one of the later years, when he couldn't see already, so there in Breuer's, they had a practice when they would say Havdalah on Yontav Shecholias when Matzoi Shabbos, and they would say Yak Nahas. So they would say Bar Mi'arhesh. They used to have a special electric bulb right next to the Omud where the Chazan davens. They only had the bulb when it's Yom Tov Shecholias, but so Shabbos, in order to say Bar Mi'arhesh. So Kolzman Rabbi Breuer was able to see frosted bulbs didn't exist. And then after he lost his eyesight and the bulb blew out, so they bought a new bulb and they brought the frosted bulb. So someone brought it to his attention. How can you say Bar Mi'arhesh? You can't see the filament. So he said to him, what are you talking about? Electric bulb, you see the filament. So they had explained to him what it means, a frosted bulb. He couldn't see. He said, if that's the case, you can't say Bar Mi'arhesh. Okay. So if you want to say Bar Mi'arhesh on an electric bulb, it has to be a non-frosted bulb. You have to be able to see the filament. So it's assumed like Rav Chaim Moizer Paskin, that turning on an electric bulb constitutes a malach at Havara Deraisa, because the Rambam quotes him a Tosefta like that. Hamechamim samateches, if you eat an apple till it glows, that's considered Havara, and one is a violation of the malach of Havara. Yeah. Let's say a person has an electrical appliance, he has a farm, and he has an electrical tractor, and he does charisha, he plows the ground with the use of electricity. So he's in violation of charish. He has the electricity, help him do the work, but he pushes the button, though. So if you harness some natural force in order to help you do charisha, so you're in violation of charish. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do charisha. Or a person has a machine that by pushing a button, it throws seeds into the ground, and it does Zareah. So you're in violation of Zareah, okay? If you use an electrical appliance in order to accomplish a malacha, let's say you have a washing machine, so you're not permitted to wash clothing on Shamsi, that's one of the malachas. Malabdin means if you wash dirty clothes. So if you have a washing machine, you put, instead of washing the clothing by rubbing it yourself, and squeezing and rubbing and squeezing and pressing and rubbing, you push a button and the machine does all the rubbing. So that you harness the natural force of electricity to do the malacha malabim. So that, of course, that's malacha. So that, if you have an electrical appliance that brings about as a result a certain malacha, that for sure is not allowed. Shalos, what if you have a refrigerator, you have an air conditioner, you have a fan, and you plug in the fan, you have an elevator. So you plugged in the fan or you plugged in the refrigerator. So what malacha have you done by plugging in the fan? You completed a circuit. So what's wrong with completing a circuit? So there is a Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Samach. Gemara quotes a Tana, who is not such a famous name. I forgot the name myself. The Rif quotes a Masech Hashab because it doesn't belong in Ksubis. So the Tana is, and the Gemara says, be Paschal like that Tana. Nochemish Galya, something. So he quotes a Tana who says that if you have a drain pipe that takes all the water down from the roof and it goes down the drain pipe, so the roof will not leak. And the drain pipe got all clogged up because of the leaves and the branches and all the dirt that fell in, mud and whatever, slush, and the roof is gonna get all flooded and it's gonna make a mess, it's gonna ruin the roof. So he says there's a malach involved in clearing out the drain pipe. So you should be Memachan Beraglov Kilachayad. He should, instead of taking, what do they do? Use a root or rotor or something. Instead of using a special mechanism that's miyuchad for clearing out the drain pipe, so you should push your leg over there. That's kalachayat. So in that case, since it's only the rabbanus of a mokam hefsid, it's mutter. So what's the malacha involved over there that you're doing a malacha kalachayat? What's the malacha? If you have dirty dishes and you wash them off on Shabbos, if you wash off with hot water and you turn on the hot water, you're causing more cold water to get cooked. So that's a malacha mevashel on the cold water. But let's say you're washing the dirty dishes are mamish dirty. You're washing the dirty dishes with cold water. You're washing dirty dishes with hot water and you turned off the fire in such a way you're not cooking any extra cold water and no cold water enters into the boiler You're only using the hot water that was cooked on Erev Shabbos. So what's the avera to wash dirty dishes on Shabbos? Mutter to wash dirty dishes on Shabbos. If the dirty dishes are from Shabbos afternoon, you wash them, then it's hachana. Then you're preparing for after Shabbos. That you're not allowed to do. But let's say to wash dirty dishes that were dirty on Erev Shabbos, wash them on Shabbos. More correct is you should have washed the dishes on Erev Shabbos. That's the mitzvah kvod Shabbos, to prepare in advance for Shabbos. But what's the avera to wash dirty dishes on Shabbos is mutter. But over here, if you have the drain pipe is clogged up and it doesn't function, and by cleaning out all of the dirt, it'll be able to function. So the Gemara says that's some kind of a malacha. We assume that that's called the malacha of misakan mana. Misakan mana usually means if the fork is broken, the fork is so twisted that they can't function. You straighten out the fork and now you'll be able to use it. So that's misakan mana on a broken fork. Or you have a knife, the knife is bent over in half and you have to hold on to the handle in order to cut with the knife. The whole knife is bent, it's at the right angle, or the whole thing is bent in half. So if you straighten it out, that's misakan mana. You fix the broken knife, now it can function. But here, nothing is broken. Let's say I have a watch. The watch is not broken. If the watch is broken, I have to bring it to a jeweler to fix me. The watch is not broken. I have to set the time, and then I want to wind it up, that it should be able to function. So what's the malacha involved in setting the time? So there was a big machloikis. So it's usually assumed that... They usually assume that you're not allowed to set the watch on Shabbos and Yom Tov, to set the watch and to wind it. If the watch is going already, then it's a machlokes. But if the watch is not going at all, so it's usually assumed that it's not permissible to set the watch and to wind it, that it should stop. And what's the avera? What malacha did he do? The watch is not broken, that you should say it's misakan mana. So we assume that that's somehow misakan mana midirabbana. Even though the watch is not broken, but to set it, and now it's going to function, it's going to go, that's a misakan mana midirabbana. The refrigerator is not broken, the air conditioner is not broken. But if you plug in the refrigerator, or you plug in the air conditioner, the elevator is not broken. I want to go up to the fifth floor. I can't walk. So if I'm going to push the button, I'm going to harness the electricity in order to bring me up to the fifth floor. I'm setting up a system where something, by pushing the elevator button, I'm using the electricity, and it's setting a system in motion. So that's called Misakan Mana Midirabban. Misakan Mana Minatar is if you fix a broken item. The thing is broken, it can't function. The watch is broken, so I bring it to the jeweler and he fixes it. The automobile is broken and he fixes it. But if the watch is not broken, I just set it and I wind it and it goes, we assume that to set a system in motion is in Misakan Mana Midirabban. Chazanish was of the opinion, he had a big chumrah. He thought that to plug in a refrigerator, to plug in an air conditioner, would be a malacha deraisa. He thought that to complete a circuit, in order to start a system running, is a malacha deraisa. I remember once in yeshiva, when I was in high school, the Rebbe said, only people who appreciate physics can understand what the Chazon Ish said. I was only high school, I didn't know anything about physics. Only people who understand physics can appreciate what the Chazon Ish said, that that completing a circuit and having the air conditioner work is a malacha deraisa. The same name of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, the Chazon Ish obviously didn't understand physics. Ben Avot Fashtana physics wrote the Gevus that it's not a malacha deraisa. Okay, that's what's usually assumed. Usually we assume that plugging in the refrigerator, plugging in the air conditioner, or pushing the button on the elevator is only an issur d'rabbanan. So that's if a person is too difficult to climb up to the 10th floor, so if you ask a nochri to take you up to the 10th floor on Shabbos, so that's considered the shvuz b'makom mitzvah. It's only the rabbanan. Even if I push the button myself on the elevator, it's only an issur d'rabbanan. I'm putting the system in motion. If you have an electrical appliance that washes clothing, you're using electricity to do malabim. If you have an electrical tractor that does harisha, so you're harnessing electricity to do harisha. But if you have an electrical elevator that takes you up to the fifth floor, so you're allowed to climb up to the fifth floor. So what other did you do? The answer is, it's misakan mana midrabbana to put the system in motion. To ask a nochri to do that, would be a shvuz de shvuz, and shvuz de shvuz, b'moka mitzvah. If it's Oinek Shabbos, if it's too difficult to climb up to such a high floor, we would be Mekel. To buy an apartment, L'chatchil, in such a building that you know every single Shabbos you're going to have to ask the elevator man to take you up on Friday night when you come home from shul, and Shabbos morning, Kaseidah, the Gemara said, that's not right. Shuz and Shuz Mokam Mitzvah is an emergency, if you get stuck. So it's B'shas Atchak, they were Mekel, Shuz and Shuz Mokam Mitzvah. Two opinions in Taisus, in Gittin, Dachas, whether Shavuos and Shavuos is mutter b'maka mitzvah or not. So one opinion of Tosfos is that it's only mutter by bris milah, milah b'zman on Shabbos. Milah b'zman, milah is a malacha on Shabbos. Milah b'zman is so important that it's dechah Shabbos. So he permitted the Eska Nochri to carry a knife and a chotzer sheinim u'reves, where the whole prohibition of carrying is only rabbanon. That's the shus b'maka mitzvah is milah. But milah b'zman is dechah Shabbos, machshiri milah not dechah Shabbos. To carry the knife is not mutter, only to do the act of milah. But if the whole prohibition of carrying the knife is only a karmelis, it's only chotz sheinim u'reves, and yes, king anachri, that's shvuz the shvuz mokam mitzvah. So one opinion in Tosfos says that shvuz the shvuz mokam mitzvah is only muta by bris milah, milah d'zman. And we're mekel on that. We're mekel even shvuz the shvuz mokam, and any other mitzvah is also muta. That's how it says in Shulchan Aruch. But not to be machnis itself l'chatchila every single Shabbos to rent an apartment on the 20th floor to rely on this kula, that's not really right. Once in a while, if you get stuck, we're allowed to do this. And that's what we usually assume. That to use an electrical appliance to wash the dishes, to wash the clothing, that would be malach deraisa. To use an electrical appliance to wash the dishes, you're allowed to wash the dishes yourself. You're allowed to wash the dishes yourself. So to use the electric appliance to wash the dishes, that can only be an Issa Dirabbanan. That would only be an Issa Dirabbanan. Yes, I wanted to know, is it permissible to set up a system to put the dishwasher on a time clock on Erev Shabbos so that the dishwasher will go on in the middle of the night? You plan to finish the meal before 12 o'clock at night, so you're going to put all the dishes into the dishwasher, and the dishwasher will start functioning at 12 o'clock. Is that permissible? So there is. We assume that pushing the button yourself on Shabbos is an Issa d'Rabbanan. It's a Misakan Manim d'Rabbanan. So that was a big machlekes in Europe when they first started with Shabbos clocks. So the machlekes that you permitted to use a Shabbos clock to turn out the lights on Leil Shabbos, that's permissible for Shabbos. The lights are on Erev Shabbos, they go out. The candles are going to go out anyway at a certain time. So if I have a Shabbos clock that the lights should go out at 1 o'clock at night, so I lit the candles, and l'chatchila, I lit the lights. So the lights are only going to be on for 6 hours. It's going to go out at 1 o'clock at night. Fine, that's not a problem. But the Shabbos, what if I set the Shabbos clock that the lights should go on again tomorrow morning at 10:30? But I want the lights to be on in the dining room when we eat. Is that permissible? So when they first started with Shabbos clocks in Europe, there was a big machlokes based on the Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Masechet Shabbos. The Shammai say you're not permitted to set up a system, a sprinkler system, to water the lawn an Erev Shabbos, even though it starts to water the lawn, to water grass is a malacha. Mashkin Mayim Lizroim is a told either of Zareh or Chorish, that's a machlek, is the first half of Ma'itkot, and what it is. But it certainly is some malacha or another, if you water grass that's growing. So Beshamai say you're not permitted to set up the sprinkler system on Erev Shabbos, even though it begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. Or to take wool and to put it into dye, and it should begin to absorb the dye in Erev Shabbos, and continue to absorb the dye into Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. And Basila say it's permissible. You're permitted to set up a system where the melacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos, with the one exception of cooking food. Because if you're going to put food into the on top of the fire without a blech, so then we're afraid, Shem Yechata B'Gecholim, and his eagerness that Jews like to eat food, And he may be eager to hasten the cooking of the food. It may just begin on Erev Shabbos. Doesn't want to wait so long. Doesn't want to sing beers for 2 hours before he eats the main course on Erev Shabbos. Of a concern, Shem Yichata Bikron. They may poke around in the coals. If he pokes around in the coals, he's in violation of Mechaba Umavir. Two different malachas, not Bishul. The Bishul is going to cook. It's going to cook anyway. It's cooking anyway. But we're concerned. Shem Yichata Bikron. Bikron is a malacha Mechaba Umavir. So that's why Beis Hillel agree. That's the whole perek here, the third perek of Masechet Shabbos. You're not allowed to leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos unless you have a blech over there, because Shem Yechata B'Gehol. So that's the one exception to the rule that the Beis Hillel say, like Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos, that you should cook into Shabbos without a blech, Shem Yechata. But leaving on the sprinkler system to water the lawn on Erev Shabbos and should continue into Shabbos, leaving the wool, the raw wool in the dye, and it should begin to absorb the dye on Erev Shabbos and continue to absorb the dye into Shabbos, they still say that was permissible. So when they first started with Shabbos clocks, there was a big machlokes in Europe that was published in the Torah journals that the Yeshivas published and the Rabbanim published. And some were of the opinion that Beis Hillel only permitted setting up a melacha, if it begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. But if you set up a Shabbos clock, the lights are going to begin to go on tomorrow morning, Shabbos morning at 10:30 in the morning. That's not permitted. Even Basila would agree that that's not allowed. And most of the Rabbanim felt that it doesn't make a difference. And since they still say you're allowed to set up on Erev Shabbos, it should begin on Erev Shabbos and continue into Shabbos. So it doesn't make a difference even if you set it up. That's when Melacha should begin in the middle of Shabbos. Then in the early 1900s, Professor Simcha Asaf, who was a big Talmud Chacham, he was in the Rabbanut also, he published the Aksav Yad that was attributed to the Rambam on Masechah Shabbos that was written in Aramaic. It's a Chiddush. You know, the Rambam wrote Arabic, a lot in Arabic, and he wrote in Mishnah Hebrew. The Mishnah Torah is written in an unusual style Hebrew, Mishnah style Hebrew. Not a biblical Hebrew, not a Talmudic Aramaic. And here they have a Pirush HaRambam, a Pirush that's miyuchas to the Rambam on Masechah Shabbos, that's written in Aramaic. And the Pirush goes to the end of the first Perek in Shabbos and begins, I think, by Memadlik, and it cocks out. We don't have the rest. So at the end of the first Perek, the Rambam has a long paragraph on this dispute between Mishnah and Basilo. When Basilo say you're permitted to set up the sprinkler system, so he writes three times in the paragraph, he emphasizes, based on a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that Basilo only permitted because the Melacha began on Erev Shabbos, but to set up a system like we have a Shabbos clock, that the lights are going to go on in the middle of Shabbos, even the Basil would prohibit that. Even the Silva degree is not allowed. So Rav Zevin used to write book reviews for Hatzofer. Used to be a newspaper, Hatzofer, I think. It was sponsored by the Mizrahi. I don't think it exists anymore. So they used to have book reviews on Svarim. So Rav Zevin used to review, every other week he reviewed another Sefer. And then he put together all of the book reviews and he published them in three volumes that's called Sofrim Svarim. That the three volumes were never reprinted, I think because a lot of times he rips apart the Svarim. It's an embarrassment to the authors of the Svarim. He says he made a mistake as a Beferish and Mishnah. He says this is a Beferish and Ketzais, he should have known. And this, all the Svarim say this, and this, nobody agrees with him. He rips apart a lot of the Svarim. Usually it's nice, but sometimes, maybe that's why he never reprinted it. But it's very, they're very geschmack book reviews. They're very good. So he has a whole essay about this. He has a book review on Simcha Asaf's volume when he put out this Pirush HaRambam on Masech Shabbos. So he writes that even after they found this Ksav Yad of the Rambam and they printed it, the Rambam says like the minority opinion, but since it was already voted on in Europe years before, before they had this Ksav Yad of the Rambam, and the Rav of the Rabbanim decided that it should be mutter, even though the Malacha begins in the middle of Shabbos, said they're going to leave it like that. The Rabbanim decided they're going to leave it, even though the Rambam said not so. No one was aware of this Rambam, it was forgotten, so we're going to leave it like that. It's mutter. And Moshe Feinstein came along years later. He's not aware of this Rambam, it doesn't refer to this Machlokes in Europe. He's unhappy about Shabbos clocks. He doesn't like any Shabbos clocks. He thinks that if the Tanaim would have lived in our generation, they would have prohibited Shabbos clocks. He says, you can run your whole business as usual by a Shabbos clock. You have all the machinery on a Shabbos clock. He says, if the time would live today, they would prohibit all the Shabbos clocks. So he says, he's not going to answer the Shabbos clocks for turning on the lights, because that's already mukubal lehetera. But he says, to set up a Shabbos clock, but it's only mukubal lehetera on a light, to turn on the lights on Shabbos morning at 10:30 in the morning, because that enhances Kod Shabbos. If the lights are on in the room where you're going to eat, you enjoy the food much better. But Rav Moshe was an old man when he started using air conditioning. So he didn't really need the air conditioning. So he says, to turn on air conditioning, that doesn't enhance Kod Shabbos. Everybody can live without the air conditioning. And to have a Shabbos clock on the dishwasher, apparently also thinks he was a man, he never washed the dishes. So he says that doesn't enhance Kol Shabbos. So he thinks that Mekubal HaTera only is on lights, because turning on the lights on Shabbos morning enhances Kol Shabbos. Why is it enhance Kol Shabbos? Leave on the lights the whole Shabbos and don't turn them off. Why is it so necessary? I'm not sure what he means by that. I guess what he could mean is one of two things. Years ago, the Jews in New York were not as wealthy as they are now. And they had smaller apartments. Now we have big apartments. Every child sleeps in his own room. We had Baruch Hashem, 9 children. And we had an apartment, one apartment. We didn't get this. Now we have two apartments, one on top of the other. But we didn't get the upstairs apartment until after my first child got engaged. We had already 9 children in one apartment. They were all squeezed in together. So a lot of times people had to sleep in that room where they were going to eat the meal. They can't sleep at night with the lights on. So they have to have the lights off. After the meal is over, the lights have to go off at 12 o'clock. Then you want someone should sleep there. Then the lights are going to go back on tomorrow morning at 10:30. The quote job, that enhances quote jobs. That could be one suggestion of what he means. That Poshet, you can't leave on the lights the whole night. Or the Jews in New York were not so wealthy, they couldn't afford to leave on the lights all of Shabbos. I remember when I was a little boy, my parents, my family lived in Philadelphia. And I went to Beth Jacob, which was the local school. I just met a classmate of mine here in which Rebbe? Cleveland, the Rebbe's wife. Tells me she was a classmate of mine, okay? And Beth Jacob. So Beth Jacob ended at the 5th grade. So what am I going to do? So my parents sent me to New York to stay with my grandparents in order to go to Yeshiva Ketana in New York. Until a few years later, my parents moved to New York. So my grandparents were poor people. They couldn't leave on the lights on Shabbos. They couldn't afford to leave on the lights on Shabbos. My grandmother benched licht in the kitchen. When the candles went out, it was dark in the kitchen. She just left a little bulb on in the bathroom in case someone had to go to the bathroom. End of the daytime, if you wanted to read, learn a sefer. My grandmother used to learn Sefer Berenah. I used to learn Chumash and Rashi. So when you wanted to read, you would sit near the window. And if it was raining and dark outside, cloudy, Yitake was bekoshi. Yitake couldn't read. The Jews couldn't afford to leave on the lights. So when you have a Shabbos clock and the lights are not going to be on the whole time, so then that it could be that the clock itself eats up so much electricity. It could be, bottom line, of course, the same. If you leave on the light the whole time or leave on the Shabbos clock. But the mentality, the psychological mentality was to leave on the bulb the whole time, that's too expensive. Have a Shabbos clock that the lights will only be on a certain amount of time when you need it. It won't be on. It won't be wasting money when you don't need it. So the psychology was that that they can afford. But to have the lights on the whole time, they couldn't afford. I'm not sure exactly what Ramosha means, but that's what he suggests. He thinks that you should only use, it was only Mekubala Hetera, to use a Shabbos clock because it's going to begin in the middle. The lights are going to go on in the middle of Shabbos if that enhances, quote, Shabbos. And he, as far as he's concerned, air conditioning didn't enhance, quote, Shabbos. Yes, we can barely live with that. We're so used to air conditioning, we can't breathe. We can't live without air conditioning. So by us, it would enhance quote Shabbos. That's what Moshe holds. Let's say there's a basketball game on TV, or there's a movie on TV, some documentary, whatever, and you don't want to watch it on Shabbos. The TV is in the basement, and you have a VCR, and you want to record it. So you use a Shabbos clock to set up the VCR, that in the basement, when nobody's there, it should make a copy. So to make a copy of a movie is assumed to be kosev. Maybe it's kosher with the Rabbana, maybe kosher with Antara. You're making a copy of what they're showing on TV. The TV screen is not on. Nothing is on. Just you hook up the VCR, and no one is in the basement at all. So according to Rav Moshe, you shouldn't do that. That doesn't enhance Kol Shabbos. You shouldn't be permitted to do that. Many other Rabbanim disagreed with Rav Moshe, and he said, what do you mean? It was Mekubala Hetera that they still allow not only to begin the Melacha on Erev Shabbos and continue into Shabbos, but that the melacha should begin in the middle of Shabbos is also mutter. I remember once in the yeshiva in New York, they alternate which rebbe speaks for Shabbos in the dormitory, in the yeshiva who gives the drushas by the meal and so on. So once it was my turn, I was with my wife, we ate in the cafeteria in the yeshiva, then we walked out, it was 2 minutes to 12 o'clock at night, it was always been there. As we walked out, the sprinkler system went on, and they're watering the lawn. By itself, it waters the lawn by itself. So I gave a shiur Shabbos afternoon about that, whether it's permissible to set up such a system. And then I wrote a note to Dr. Lamb. This was 40 years ago. I wrote it to Dr. Lamb, what's going on? So he was ready to pull his hair out. Hayi tochen, they didn't tell him about this. He gave instructions they shouldn't allow that. They shouldn't have this sprinkler system set up in such a way that the malacha should begin in the middle of Shabbos. That's not right. In America, there's a law that you're not allowed to have a dishwasher where the machinery will go on. Let's say you have it on a Shabbos clock. So it's against the law that it should be able to run even if the door is open. Because if someone will stick his hand in when the door is open, if the door is open, it's going to make a flood. All the water is going to spill out on the floor. But worse than that, the government is not worried about you being so stupid to ruin the floor. But they're worried if the machinery can function, when you open the door, right away the machinery stops. Because they're afraid someone, the door will be open, someone put his hand, it'll break his hand off. So it's illegal for a mechanic to tamper with the mechanism that in such a way that it should be able to function even if they don't close the door. So if that's the case, so then when the balabasta puts all the dishes in, the dishwasher is going to start, let's say, on Friday night at 12 o'clock. And the balabasta is going to put all the dishes in, and she's going to close the door at 11 o'clock. So the closing of the door at 11 o'clock makes it possible for the machinery to function at 12 o'clock. If she wouldn't have closed the door, so the machinery would not be gone. So that for sure is not permissible. So some rabbanim say you're permitted to get a mechanic to tamper with the machinery, but that's against the din of the Malchusa in New York. Why should it be permissible? The din of the Malchusa is binding. The government makes a takonim tikkun olam, then it's not safe. So you're supposed to listen to the takonis that the government makes. The Gemara says, din of the Malchusa dina, we assume it only applies in a civil case of dini mamonis. Din of Malchusa only applies at least when one of the parties is a non-Jew. And all the parties involved are Jewish, and din of the Malchusa doesn't apply. Yeah, that's din of the Malchusa dini mamonis benon machaveira. But if the government makes a takana because of safety, so that's binding on the Jews also. If the government makes a takana, if they take an oilam years ago in America, there were Jews who owned apartment buildings and they would only rent apartments to Jews because they were in violation of the rent control laws. They were charging more than the government permit. And they were wise guys, so they said, Dina Machusa doesn't apply for all the parties involved are Jewish. Dina Machusa doesn't apply. Or there were Jews who had factories, they would only hire other Jews because they violated the din of the Machusa about minimum wages. They weren't planning to pay the minimum wages. And they said, din of the Machusa doesn't apply because all the parties involved are Jewish. Din of the Machusa only applies, says the Chosh Mishra. Only applies if at least one of the parties is non-Jewish. At that time, Rav Henkin was the big Pesach in New York, before Rav Moshe Feinstein came on the scene. Rav Henkin published a Tshuva many years ago, 80 years ago, I don't know, maybe more, that since the government takonis over here, I mean, they tikkun olam, that people shouldn't rip each other, they shouldn't skin each other alive, that you have to pay minimum wages and you have to have rent control, that the landlord shouldn't be able to charge whatever he wants. And whenever the government makes a takona like that, the tikkun olam, let's say bankruptcy takona. So bankruptcy is, there's no halacha that you have a right to declare bankruptcy, your money you got to pay. So they made a din of the Malchusa to give people a second chance. They should be, if a person made a major mistake, and it'll be chai for the rest of his life, never be able to krich out of the blotter. Made a takoni, you can declare bankruptcy. So some are of the opinion that bankruptcy only helps, that you don't have to pay the nochrim, but all the Jews you have to pay. Pashtun says that it's not correct. Bankruptcy was a takoni that was made in Tikkun Olam to give people a chance to start all over again, to start their life all over again. A lot of people abuse it, and they hide all of their assets, and then they declare bankruptcy. So that's Gnei Shishtik, that's not Mutter. But if a person honestly declares bankruptcy, so then he doesn't have to pay the Jews either. The Din of the Machusa, the Takana Din of the Machusa applies, even all the parties involved are Jewish. But all the Yevah Shurit applies in America. There's such a law, and the government makes such a law, that it's not safe to have an appliance, a dishwasher that's going to run, even when the door is open. So so you're not allowed to do that. The Pashtus is not permissible. If you live in a country where it's not in violation of the Din of Machusa, you're not concerned about the danger, so then by closing the door, you're not causing the mechanism to function another hour. You're just preventing the floor from getting all flooded. So then it would depend on that Shaila and the Pashta. The accepted opinion is that even to set up a system that the Malacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos is also permissible. Emotion is Shuba quotes. Right, Ramosha and his Tshuva quotes a Gemara in the first Perek of Masechah Shabbos. They used to have water mills. They used to have a mill by the water. The river would be flowing anyway, and the river would cause the mill to turn. And when you put in grain on the Erev Shabbos, and you don't touch it on Shabbos, so the grain keeps on grinding by itself. So these water mills used to make a big racket, and it would draw attention to the fact that a malacha is taking place on Shabbos. So the Gemara says it's Avsha Milsa. If it makes noise and the noise draws attention to the fact that a malacha is taking place, that's Rashi says that's a bizoyant to Shabbos, that's a elusive to Shabbat. So that's a question over here. If you live in an apartment building and your dishwasher is shaking, and your neighbor hears the shaking, the whole floor is shaking, so the neighbor downstairs, it's shaking on his head. So maybe that's a violation of that Avshin Milsa. But if you live in a private home, where the dishwasher doesn't shake the whole building, nice and quiet, or the dishwasher is in the basement, it doesn't wake anybody up, the basement of a private home, so then there wouldn't be an issue of Avshin Milsa. Right, that would be a consideration. Could be. Could be. It's what to consider. I don't know. Possibility. Yeah. Let's speak a little bit about Mukta. What exactly is Mukta all about? So the Rambam writes a whole philosophy. What motivated the Chachamim to introduce the prohibition of Mukta? It's only made the Rabbanim. Mukta for tilt. If you're not allowed to handle something else, Mukta is only made the Rabbanim. What motivated them? So the Rambam says, you're not allowed to handle pens and pencils because you may forget and you may write with it. You're not allowed to handle a hammer and a screwdriver because you may build malach with it. A whole fantastic explanation. Then he gives more and more and more. So the Rabbit writes, I don't know. And my Gemara doesn't say that. My Gemara says that Mukta is a shvus of Hoitzor. The Chachamim were concerned. In the house, you carry everything you want. You're not allowed to carry into the street unless you have an era. If you don't have an era, you're not allowed to carry. So the Chachamim were afraid if you permit people to carry everything in the house, they're going to forget and they'll carry things out into the street. So to make life impossible, you say you're not allowed to pick up a chair, you're not allowed to pick up your clothing, you're not allowed to pick up the food. So how can you live? You have to go to sleep with your clothes on. You can't pick up a fork and a knife to eat the food. That's you make life impossible. So they didn't want to make life impossible. They wanted to make life a little difficult. The Chacham didn't want to make life impossible. As little difficult as okay. So they prohibited whatever is a piece of junk anyway that you don't really need it. It's something that you don't really handle at all. So let's say you have garbage, or you have broken a bottle smashed in tiny little smithereens. A piece of junk that you don't use anyway. So then they prohibited handling that. But they never made the gzeira on food, on oichlim and kalim. And they patterned this. The Gemara says, called the Tikkun Rabbanu came the Raisa Tikkun. All the dinim the Rabbanu were patterned after dinim the Raisa, probably because all the dinim the Rabbanu blend in to become a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh, min HaTorah. To observe the dinim of Mukta Zonim the Rabbanu, to learn Hilchas Mukta, we assume it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah min HaTorah. When you learn Hilchas Chanukah, it's a mitzvah min HaTorah. When you light the nearest Chanukah, that's only a mitzvah of the Rabbanu. But the dinim the Rabbanu, the Rambam writes like that in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos. All the dinim the Rabbanu blend in to become an integral part of the Torah Shebal Peh min HaTorah. So that's why called the Tikkun Rabbanu. Came the Raisa Tikkun, all the dinim the Rabbanu, that pattern after dinim the Raisa, that it should be able to blend in to become one with the rest of the Torah Shebal Peh. So they patterned the Hilchas Mukta after, the Gemara says, surprisingly, after Hilchas Kabbalah Tumah. What is Makabal Tumah? So there are four categories of things. From all the things in the whole wide world, there are four categories of things that are Makabal Tumah. Od the Mikelem, Ochlem, and Mashtim. Everything else is considered junk, and it's not Makabal Tumah. So Adam is Makabal Tumah, only Yisraelim. Nochrim are not Makabal Tumah. But that's only in Hilchas Tumah. That doesn't carry over here. So by Mukta, Adam is not Mukta. Whether Adam is Yisrael or Adam Noch is not Makabal Tumah. Kalim, there are certain Kalim that are not Makabal Tumah. Let's say the Gemara says, Kle Glolim, Kle Adoma, Kle Avonim are not Makabal Tumah. But bottom line, it's a Kli. Let's say, Plastic Kalim are not Makabal Tumah. So you want to say, Plastic Kalim are Mukta. So then there's no, since Kalim, in principle, Kalim are Makabal Tumah, some of the Kalim are not Makabal Tumah, so that doesn't count. All Kalim are not Mukta. Ochlim and Mashkim also. Ochlim is separate and Mashkim is separate. They're two different categories. Ochlim need Hechsher L'Kabal Tumah. Mashkim don't need Hechsher L'Kabal Tumah. So Ochlim and Mashkim are only Mekabal Tumah if it's Michael Odom. If it's Michael Behemah, it's not Mekabal Tumah. It's Negeta Ilchas Schach. The Sukkah has to, the Schach has to be Gidule Karka Tolush Ve'ena Mekabal Tumah. So if you have hay, that's Michael Behemah, that you can use as Schach. That's not Michael Odom, so it's not Mekabal Tumah. That's okay. But as far as Mukta is concerned, we don't say that Michael Behemah, since it's not Mekabal Tumah, therefore it's Mukta. No. All Ochlim HaMashkim HaNak, the Gemara had such a Havamina, that maybe Michael Behemah should be considered Mukta. The Gemara rejects it. It's not true. So it's basically patterned after Hilchas Kabbalah's Tuma. Od Mekele Mochel Mamashkim are the four categories of things that are Mekabal Tuma. Everything else is junk, and it's not Mekabal Tuma. And basically, that's the klal benigir to mukta with a little bit of modification. The Odom even includes nochrim by mukta, is not mukta, and kelim even includes kelim that are not makabal tuma, klei glolim, klei avonim, klei avonim, klei adom. And ochel mamashkim, even maichel behem is also, even though it's not makabal tuma, it's not considered mukta. So what's the definition of kelim? What's the definition of kelim? So the Chumash says kli ma'asa, has to be a kli that has a hishtamsha. So for the purposes of muktzah, I don't know, for the purposes of Hilchas Kabbalah's Tumah, what's the definition of a kli ma'asa for muktzah? So there is a Gemara Masechah Shabbos that many people know. Why are you not permitted to move around the candlestick on Shabbos when the candles are burning, or even after the candles go out? What's wrong with moving around the candlestick? First, the Gemara says that by moving the candlestick, you may extinguish the flame. Mar says, but you're not interested. You're not trying to extinguish the flame. If it goes out, it's an accident. We paskin is mutta. So what's the problem? So Mar says, no. The reason why you're not allowed, and even after the candle went out, also you're not allowed to move the candlesticks off of the table. What's wrong? The Mar says, hanach ner shemit psilo. The candlestick and the oil and the wick, used to bench licht in the days of the Tanya, used to bench licht with oil and wicks. So the whole thing is muktzah because it's a basis to the flame. The shalheves is muktzah. Why the shalheves muktzah? Because it's not one of the four categories, not odom, kelim, mochel, mamashkim. The shalheves is muktzah. So if that's the reason why the candlestick may not be moved, even after the flame goes out, because it was migadis katsoy, it was muktzah, ben ashmashis, it was a basis, ben ashmashis, it remains muktzah throughout the rest of Shabbos. So the same should be true on Yontif. How come you're allowed to move a candlestick on Yontif? Let's say it's dark in the other room. You take a candlestick from the table, you take it into the other room. So if you say Shalheves is Muktzah on Shabbos, so why isn't it Shalheves is Muktzah on Shabbos? Because it's not Odom Kelim Mochel Mamashkim, so why isn't the Shalheves Muktzah on Yontif also? So I think the Pashtus is because on Shabbos, you have a Hishtamshas from the warmth and from the light. I want to read Lo'ora Ner so I can read to the light coming from the shalheves. I want to, my hands are cold. Hold my hands on top of the shalheves of the fire so I can warm my hands. I'm using the heat and I'm using the light that emanates from the shalheves, but I'm not actually using the shalheves itself. On Yontif, you're allowed to light another candle from this candle so you can be mishtamish in the shalheves. So on Yontif, the shalheves is a davar she'esh bo hishtamshus. On Shabbos and Shalheves is Dovah She'ein Bo Hishtamshes. The fact that you can use the light that emanates from the Shalheves, you can use the warmth that emanates from the Shalheves, that's not called Hishtamshes, the Shalheves. Hishtamshes means to handle it. You have the Hishtamshes with the Guf Ador. So the Pashtus says in the commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham writes, if you have a painting or you have a photograph that hangs on the wall all year long, you never take it down. And someone is interested in looking at it in our shop, so they want to take it down and look at it. So the Magen Avraham says that it's muktzah. Why is that considered muktzah? So he says, because it doesn't have any hishtamshes. What do you mean it doesn't have any hishtamshes? If you have a photo album, so the photo album is miyuchah. You take it out of the bookcase and you show the photographs. But if you have a thing hanging on the wall, and all year long you never take it down. So it's not omit to be taken down. It's omit to be hanging there. So something that's, it's hishtamshes. His hishtamshes is just to look at it, but not to handle it. That's considered a davar she'ein bo hishtamshes. So davar she'ein bo hishtamshes is considered muktzah. So now the Gemara has. So let's say you have junk, you have garbage, something you're going to throw out. That's muktzah. That's muktzah machmas gufa. Eitzma vanav yaba. Something that has no hishtamshes at all. That's considered muktzah. Broken glass. Banana peel. You ate a peach and you have the pit is left over. So if you have animals who eat pits, it's Michael Behema. If you don't have animals who enjoy eating pits, so then it's not Michael Behema. So then it would be Mukta. It's a Dovish Hema Shamshas at all. So then animals, let's see.
Animals
are also Mukta because of Xerim and the Rabbanon. Yeah, Hema Shamshim and Balichayim. Right. So the Adinim in the Shulchan Aruch about walking your dog on Shabbos even without an Erev. How do you have to hold the leash? You're permitted to walk the dog on Shabbos even if there's no Erev, if you know how to hold the leash. But you're not allowed to handle the dog. You're allowed to handle a leash, but you're not allowed to handle a dog. So the days of the Bali Atesis, there was a minority opinion that was outvoted that if the animal is a pet and the children play with the puppy or the children play with the kitten, then it doesn't have the status of mukta. And the Bali Atesis outvoted that opinion. We don't pass like that. The Maracha Zeruah has a tshuva where he quotes this opinion. It's Atesis in Shabbos, and we don't accept that opinion. We pass on that. Pets are considered mukta because of the Gzeirah Derabanan, also the Shtamish Bebali Chaim. So the basic definition, the basic din of mukta is a davar shein bo hishtamshus. It's a piece of junk, and they patterned the definition of junk after the dinim of Kabbalah Stumah. Whatever doesn't fall into the four categories of Adam, Mekel, Mochel, and Mashken, so that's considered junk, and it's considered mukta. So the Gemara has the following. Let's say I have mukta machmas chisor and kiss. What does it mean, mukta machmas chisor and kiss? I have a kli, I have an instrument that's miyuchad for using for some malacha that's prohibited on Shabbos. Let's say I have a hammer or a screwdriver. So normally you use a hammer to bang your nails. That's a malacha. You're banging in a nail, some kind of malacha or another. Bang a nail in the wall, it's boina. Bang a nail into a broken kli, it's also a malacha, the second mana. A screwdriver is usually used also to tighten screws, or some kind of a malacha. What if I use the hammer to crack open a nut? What if I use the screwdriver to also to open up a nut, or to pry open a jar, or something like that? So the hammer and the screwdriver, the ikar hishtamshus is to do malacha, but we all know that it has a miut hishtamshus for a dovish and a malacha. So that's what the Gemara calls a klisha malachta li issa. Let's say a pen and a pencil. A pen and pencil you usually use to write, and once in a while you use it to keep the place. You're reading a book or something like that. So you put it as a bookmark or you point to the place as a pointer. So the ikar ishtamshus is to do malacha. It has a miut ishtamshus for other purposes. So that's called klisha malachta liyisa. Klisha malachta liyisa the chachamim prohibited, but it's not as severe as mukta. So klisha malachta liyisa you're permitted to handle letzarach gufa letzarach mekoyma. Let's say by mistake, they have a sign up in the base medrash that everyone should please remove all the pens and pencils from the desks on Erev Shabbos. What if they didn't remove the pen and the pencil and someone wants to learn on Shabbos, someone wants to daven and the pen and pencil is in the way, so he can move it, but we assume he can move it with his elbow. The Mishnah Berurah passes like the Magen Avraham, that tilta muksa begufa is mutter. He can move it with his elbow. But if it's too difficult to move with his elbow, so strictly speaking, he can pick up the pen and the pencil and move it on the side. Because it's only a klisha malachta li yisr, it's muta l'taltala l'tzarech mekoma, if it's in the way, you want to get it out of the way. Let's say there's money on the table, and you want to, there's money on the table, you're afraid a goy is going to steal the money. Well, there's money on the table, a whole pile of cash, and I want to put a gemara down there. Are you permitted to take the money out of the way in order to put the gemara down? So then it's not, money is considered junk. Money is considered junk. It doesn't belong into one. It doesn't fit into one of the four categories. It's not a dovish yeshmo hishtamshus. A screwdriver is a kli, has hishtamshus. Money is not a dovah hamakabotum. It doesn't have any hishtamshus. You can buy things with it, but that's not called hishtamshus and the gufa dovah. So money is considered junk, so it's considered muktzah. So real muktzah, you're not allowed to move even the tzor, gufa, the tzor, makoymai. So the Gemara has a din if you have a klisha malachta liyisa, some kind of an instrument that's normally used to do malacha, and people are makbid because, let's say you have a, such a, what is this? A telephone? A recorder? I don't know what this is. So you do malachas with this. You do malachas with this. Do you ever use it for anything other than malacha? Mestama, it's a precision instrument. People would be makbid. Would you let your child play with it? Mestama, no, it's probably expensive. Child's going to play, he's going to break it. You wouldn't use it for other purposes, but you use it in order to draw a straight line. Sometimes you use, let's say, a credit card. You take out a credit card, you want to draw a straight line. You want to underline something. You want to use a credit card to keep your place in a safe, or keep a place in a book. So use a credit card for other purposes also. But would you use this? I doubt it. So what if you have a kli with the ikar hishtamshus is an isa malacha, and your makbid, it could have other hishtamshus in, but you're makbid because it's a precision instrument and it's expensive. So that's called muktz machmas chisar and kis. So then it's considered muktz. You're not even allowed to move it. Letzor guf or letzor makom. So the Rabbi Natam is of the opinion, Tosis alludes to this Rabbi Natam, as quoted by Riches and the Or Zeruah. Tosis alludes to it. that if you have any kli, shekol malach to le'isa, if you have a kli, that the only ishtamshis that it has is le'isa, so that has the status of mukta mamish. So the Ramah quotes this Rabbi Natam in Shulchan Aruch, that a kli, shekol malach to le'isa, not if it's roi malach to le'isa, me and malach to le'isa, like a screwdriver or a hammer, that's called kli, shekol malach to le'isa. So then you have the heter, the kula, the tatanaim say, you permit it to handle it, so kufal, it's okum. But if you have a kli, shekol malach to le'isa, so then the Rabbi Natam's opinion is that it's mukta mamish. So the Ramah quotes this, Rabbi Natam, kli, shekol malach to le'isa is mukta mamish. And then the Ramah adds on, but if it's so goofal, it's off makama, then you're allowed to, then you are allowed to move it. So the Meforshim asks, astir min ebe. First he says, like the Rabbi Natam, that it's mukta. And then the next line, he says that it's not mukta. If it would be mukta, you wouldn't be permitted to handle it, even if it's so goofal, it's off makama. So Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that we don't pass from like the Rabbi Natam. He thought that even if you have a kalisha kol malach taliyisr, it's only considered kalisha malach taliyisr, it's not considered mukta. And Rab Soloveitchik and his uncle Rab Belbala Soloveitchik and Rab Yanka Kamenetsky and others were of the opinion, no, we should be machma like the Rabbi Natam, that a klisha kol malach taliyisr would be mukta mamish.
But if you have what kind of an instrument? Anything that can be used for a door stopper. In other words, it has a use on Shabbat.
Would a person use it for that, or would it be afraid that it may break?
Maybe if it's a
precision instrument, that he would be makbid, and it may break, and it's expensive. That's called mukta machmas chisaron kis. If it's an inexpensive thing, and he may taki use it as a doorstopper, so then it's only a klisha malach taliyis. Sometimes you have electrical appliances that people would be makbin not to use it for any other purpose, then it would have the status of mukta mamish. But if it's not kol malach taliyis, then it would be only a klisha malach taliyis. A klisha malach taliyis, tzorukuf, tzorukama, that would be permissible. Yes.
Electrical appliance, you don't use it for doing a malacha like grinding or plowing or other things we spoke about before. Rather, it just gives you, it's a fan, it's an air or light. This is light. Where is the malacha listen here of this instrument?
I think
it's turning it on by this, but then it's on already. Where is the malacha listen?
I think when the light is on and we read L'ora Ne'er, so we're not really being mishtamish in the light. Mishtamish in the light is when you turn it on or you turn it off. They're handling it. So the handling is turning on, turning off. So that's kol malach talis. People would be makbir probably not to use it for any other purpose. You had a shaila before we daven ma'ariv, so we'd be discussing what if you have a flashlight. So the flashlight you handle not only when you turn it on, if you have a bulb that's kavua, sits in one place, you never move it around. So then the whole ishtamshis, the whole handling that you have is only your handling to turn it on, to turn it off. You don't do any other handling of it. So then it's called malach talisa. But if you have a flashlight, so you handle it to turn it on, to turn it off, and also to carry it around. So that could be that wouldn't be called malach talisa. I don't know. That could be that it's not called malach talisa. That could be that everyone would agree that would be a klisha malach talisa, that it would be muta, the tzor, kufa, the tzor, kaim. Malach to leheter. I don't know about that. I mean, the ikar hishtamshis is to carry it around.
Yeah. After it's on.
I don't know. Okay, could be. Got to give that some thought. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
If what? Filament. Wire.
Would
be like the
Shalhevet
of those days of
Basis
of
Devar Asur,
or is it now considered today as part of the whole?
Part of the flashlight. Should be part of the flashlight. I don't know. You got to think into that. I don't know. And many people have the following Shaila. In New York, I know this is very common. You walk on certain streets, so because they have a system set up, so lights will go on. So I'm not really, but it's a psik reshe. I know if I walk on this side of the street, the light will vaday go on. It's not a dovah sheni miskav, maybe yes, maybe no. I know vaday, the light will go on. So a psik reshe, even though it's a dovah sheni miskav, then you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But the question is, I'm totally not interested in this. I couldn't care less. I can see my way. There's enough light, really, to see where I'm going. So the worst it can be is what we call the psikresha de la nichala. He's not really interested. He's not gaining by the fact the light goes on. There's enough light without it. So psikresha de la nichala is a dispute in Tosfos. Tosfos quotes those who are meikel. And Tosfos disagrees. They think that it should be us. So that's a machlekes. So regarding this situation, there's a young Talmid Chacham in Yerushalayim published a tshuva about 10 years ago. Very, I don't know who the fellow is. It didn't ring a bell. I never heard of his name. He published a very interesting tshuva where he quotes the following. There is a Mishnah, Masech HaShabbos, where the Mishnah says, if an animal runs into my apartment and I close the door in order to trap the animal, that's an act of tzeda. You're not allowed to trap a wild animal. What if I closed the door? I didn't realize that there was an animal trapped. I walk out of my house, I close the door to prevent Ganofen from walking off with my property. Then it turns out that I did say that. So that's a misasek. I didn't realize that by closing the door, I'm doing an act of tzedah, so that I don't even have to bring a chatas. That's not considered that I did a malacha b'shegig. That's considered misasek, and that's not considered an avera at all, at least as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned. So now the shaila is, what if the fellow knows that an animal will be trapped and he's not interested in trapping the animal? So the Ran, in his commentary on the Rif, says that that's the old machloikas between Tosfos and the other Rish, and the Oruch, where the psik reshe de la nichala is mutar erasa. He wants to close his door, he couldn't care less about trapping the animal, he's not interested in trapping the animal, but he knows an animal will get caught, he just wants to protect his property. So that's the machloikas, Tosfos and the Oruch, where the psik reshe de la nichala is mutar erasa. And the Ran says this in disagreement with the Rashba. He quotes a Rashba who says, based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that not only is it permissible to close the door to your house if you're not interested in trapping the animal, even if you are interested in trapping the animal, but that's only a secondary interest. Your main interest really is in closing the door like you do every morning. Go to shul, you lock the door. You don't want the ganavim to walk off with your property. You have as a secondary interest, you're also interested in trapping the animal. So the Rashba quotes a line from the Talmud Yerushalmi, even that is mutter. So the Ran says, what in the world is he talking about? How can it be? That's mamash adova hamiskaven. He's closing the door to trap the animal. There can't be mutter. And even if he closes the door, he couldn't care less about trapping the animal. That's also going to be a machlekes tesis in the Oruch, where the psikresh of the la nichla is mutter eros. So this Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim published an essay where he quotes several Gedolei Achrayim. I think he quotes Yeshua's Yankiv and the Avnei Nezer, Rabbi Chana Wasserman, and a few more who say a compromise in Psak Halacha, that if the fellow closes the door intending to protect his property and as a secondary interest he wants also to trap the animal, so then we should really paskan like the Ran. That's a Dovah HaMiskaven. What does it matter whether it's the main intention, the secondary intention, that should be a dovah hamiskaven, that's us. But if he couldn't care less about trapping the animal, he's really only interested in protecting the house and his property. But he knows that by closing the door, the animal is going to be trapped. So this group of achrayim think that this case is better than any other case of psik reshe de la nichla. Psik reshe de la nichla is a machloikas when the fellow is doing the melacha biyadayim. Over here, he's closing the door and the melacha occurs with the animal. So that's a chiddush that the Mishnah says. If you want to trap an animal, so if you take a big net and you throw it on the animal and you trap the animal, or you jump on the lion and you trap the lion, tie him down, so that's tzeda. But if you close all the doors and close all the windows and immediately you trap the animal, so that's a chiddush in the Mishnah, that by closing the doors it's considered a malach on the animal. So that's only if that's what you're interested in. Your closing of the doors and the windows relates to the animal because that's your interest. But if you couldn't care less about trapping the animal, then it's not even called the psikresha de la nichalei. It's not called the malacha at all. Then the mice of closing the doors doesn't relate to the animal. So this Talmud Chacham wants to say the same over here. I'm walking down the street, I couldn't care less about whether the lights go on, the lights don't go on. I'm not handling the lights. There's some kind of beams that go across the street, so because of my breaking the beams or whatever, so that causes a light to go on. But I couldn't care less about the whole thing. So he says that since I'm not handling the ner, the adayim, if someone scratches his back on the wall and he knows that there's a switch on the wall, by scratching his back he knows the switch is going to go on, the light's going to go on. That's a psikreshe, even though he's not interested in turning on the lights. He's doing it biadayim. He's scratching the back on the wall and he's pushing the switch. But over here he's not handling at all anything. He's just walking and he's breaking a circuit over here, and that's causing a light to go on. So that's like doing a pa'ula to the windows and the doors that relates to the animal. So the halacha says it only relates to the animal if you're interested in catching and trapping the animal. If not interested, then we would pass on like the Rashbam. So this is an interesting kiddush. In New York now, it's impossible to go without being videoed. Wherever they keep on catching all the murderers and all the terrorists, because all the streets in New York, they have video cameras all over the place. So wherever you go, if I look in a mirror, that's not called kaisev. That's just a reflection of my face. But if I stand over here and I know that my face is going to appear on a TV screen somewhere, the guard of the house is going to see that I'm in front of the door because my face appeared. That's not a reflection. That's ksivim. So true, it's only ksivim midirabonon because it's not shel kavua. It's only aroi, but it's kosev. If you walk in front of the camera and you wave your hand, that's a violation of ksivim. But if you're walking in front of the camera, you couldn't care less. You're not doing the ksiva over there. You're just minding your own business. You're walking here. So the only time my walking here relates to the ksiva that occurs over there is if that's what I'm interested in. Like if I close the doors and I close the windows in order to trap the animal, so the action, the pu'ula that I did on the doors relates to the animal. I'm walking over here, I don't care, I don't want my face. I don't want the guard in the building to see that I'm standing. I don't want him to push the button. I'm going to open up the door without him. I don't need him. So that's when you walk in the street, we're not interested in having our faces caught on the video. So that's what the assumption today, we're all mekel on that. That's less than a psikreshe lo nichalei. That's not even considered a psikreshe at all in such a situation. Pardon me?
Would it make a difference if you knew it was a Jew was watching your image on the television?
I don't think it makes a difference whether it's Jew or non-Jew.
Causing him to do a malacha or to do something?
No, I'm doing the malacha, but I'm not interested in doing the whole malacha. I'm not doing the malacha b'yadayim. Just because I walk over here, so I'm a mele, because of the whole system set up, a malacha will occur. It's not the same. If I open up a refrigerator, so then I'm doing biadayim. By opening the door, the button goes out. So that's like flicking the switch with the hands. That's like scratching my back on the wall where the switch is. So I know that I'm turning on the switch biadayim. That's what I'm doing with my body. But over here, he's not really doing the havar.
If the lights, you can do without all the lights, but the lights a little help, gives you a little help. If it's automatic light.
Yeah, but if he doesn't really need it, so we say it's loy nichalei. He doesn't need it.
But he
helps, so it makes it a little better.
A little better, yeah.
But still, bottom line, he doesn't need it. So he's not interested. On Shabbos, for sure, he doesn't want the lights to go on. So basically, if one can avoid it, you should, because the Ran says, beferish, that it's prohibited. The Ran says to close the door knowing that there's an animal that's getting trapped. He says that's a psikreshe, and that'll be a machlekes tesis in New York, psikreshe la nichalei. So l'chatrila, one should avoid it because of the Ran. But if you have a shas hadchak, you have no brera, you can't walk in the street in New York now. Everyone is on video. Wherever you go, you got to be video. So then if you have no brera, so mikaradim, we hold that it's really mutter. Same thing, whether the lights go on in the street or the side of a building. Inside the building, same thing, yeah. The shaila is, what if you have an electric guy that opens up the door? Exactly. So what's the malach in opening up a door? You're allowed to open up doors. So if I use electricity to cause the door to open, so what did I do? So it's like opening the door, be a dime, what's wrong? So that's a question. And now they have, in New York, they have in a lot of hospitals, a lot of homes, like that, or in the airports, they have like that. the toilets, when you walk away from the toilet, it flushes automatically. If it wouldn't have this electric eye, it would flush the toilet via dime, that would be mutter. So what malacha is there over there? Well, a lot of times now they have, when you put your hands under the faucets, based on the electric beams, so the faucet goes on by itself. You take your hands away, so the faucet stops. So we assume there's no malacha involved in turning on the water on Shabbos. So what's over here? He's harnessing the electric power to do something which is mutter. So that's really questionable. So there's a big Talmud Chacham here in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nachum Rabinowitz, he published a maimer about this. He thinks that it's taka mutter. He thinks it's taka mutter. Even though you know that by walking over here, the doors are going to open up, the electric doors. He thinks, so you're harnessing electricity to open a door. So to open a door, be a time is mutter. The only time it's a problem is, if you harness electricity to do something that's osir, you're going to use a tractor to do chayrisha, or if you plug in the refrigerator, because you're putting a system in motion, or you plug in a fan, or you plug in an air, you turn on the air conditioner, or something, or you push the elevator button, so the system is going to start to function, or you set the watch, and you wind the watch, and you set it, so the system starts to work. But over here, is this called putting a system in motion? I'm opening a door. So he published an essay. He thought that these kind of things are mutter. You're using electricity to do a davar mutter. Most assume, I think my impression is that most rabbanim are not happy with that position, because the balabatim probably won't be able to distinguish between when it's considered putting a system in motion and just doing you're using electricity to do a davar mutter. So most assume that you shouldn't use the electric eye, shouldn't go in for the electric guy to open the door, nor to flush the toilet, nor to have the water go, and so on.
What if you follow somebody? It's already open, and you might be prolonging the amount it's open. If they've already, Goyim have already opened it.
The Pashta says that it probably is mutter. Pashta says that if you hold that it's usser, we assume it's usser, because you're opening the door so that you're putting in the system, and that's also called putting in the system in motion. But if it's already open, we assume it's okay.
Didn't the Chazon Ish have a major problem with electricity?
Right, the Chazon Ish thought that completing a circuit in order to get something accomplished is a malacha deraisa. Right. So basically that has not been accepted. We assume that it's only an Issa derabbanan. And the Issa derabbanan is because you put a system in motion. But if you're not putting a system in motion, you're just opening the doors. So opening the doors you're allowed to do. Opening the doors you're allowed to do, that's a question. What about speaking on a loudspeaker on Shabbos? What's wrong with speaking on a loudspeaker? So somehow years ago they thought that the electrical current is Eish. The electrical current is not Eish. Eish is when the metal is heated till it glows, till incandescence. When you have a filament that's so hot that it gives off light, that's a Mechames HaMateches until it glows, that's Eish. But just an electric current is warm. That per se is not Eish. So what's wrong with speaking on a loudspeaker? So the Pashto says the Eish is Nishkan Eish. What is wrong? So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he gives four suggestions why it should be awesome. And then he says, we're not so convinced about the first, we're not so convinced about the second, the third, and fourth. I'm not so convinced about the whole thing. So he says, if there's a little child and the child doesn't hear without a hearing aid, and we talk to the child with a hearing aid, say, just talk on a loudspeaker. So he says, we're mekel on all the four, because I'm not so convinced that it's also to use the loudspeaker either. But that's already a minig. That was in America, the loudspeaker began taka with the reform and with the conservative. So that's already a sign of pirtza. It was taken to be a pirtza on Shmiras HaShabbos. Like umbrellas in Europe, there was a big machloikas. If you have an Erev, and you're allowed to carry in the city, so is there anything wrong with using umbrellas? So many gedolim are of the opinion that the open umbrella is an iser of asiyas ohel. And the Chazon Ish came out with a whole kula. It's usually assumed like that. Let's say you have a baby carriage, so to pull up the hood on top of the baby carriage is also making an ohel. Unless it's already spread out a tefah, then you're allowed to spread it out the rest more than a tefah. But it wasn't, if it's not flat on top of tefah, you're not allowed to spread it further. So the Chazon Ish disagreed. He said the baby carriage didn't manufacture it like that, and the umbrellas didn't manufacture it like that. So he said, based on the mark, you're not creating an ohel. It's manufactured like that. So he says, that's the Hishtam, that's mutter. And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, so they asked him, what does he say about the Chazon Ish? about the baby carriage, about the hood. He says, everybody knows that Chazon Ish is wrong, so it's not worth writing a tshuva. Chazon Ish doesn't often in Gemara, though. It's a problem. So the Chazon Ish writes about umbrellas. He holds Mikra Din umbrellas are really mutter. There's no Asiyas Oil. It wasn't manufactured like that. Asiyas Oil would be. It wasn't. If it was manufactured, that's a multi-billion dollar business. They manufacture umbrellas and they make a lot of money. Everybody has an umbrella. So Chazon Ish holds that Mikra Din is not awesome. But the reason why it's awesome is because it started by the reform in Europe. So it was a pirtza in the Chilul Shabbos. So that's basically, the loudspeaker is also like that. Loudspeaker, there's probably room to be makel, but there were gedolim who were makel to use the loudspeaker years ago in America. Everybody knows that Rav Soloveitchik got up once at a RCA convention, a Binnacle Council of America convention. He spoke about the loudspeaker. So he said he thinks that those who are makel were not sufficiently knowledgeable in halacha, and those who are machmum were not sufficiently knowledgeable in physics. And he said, we have a klal sveka deraisa l'chumer, so you shouldn't be allowed to use the loudspeaker. To say sveka deraisa l'chumer is a little bit of a guzma. The pashtus is, even if a loudspeaker is also very questionable, what malacha deraisa are you violating? It may be an issa derabanan over here, but he felt that was his way of expressing that it's a pirtza in the shmiras hashamas. So just like the umbrella, the Chazon Ish holds that the umbrella was a pirtza because it started from the reform. So the same probably by the loudspeaker. We avoid using the loudspeaker, even on Mikra Din, could be that it is mutl.
What about LED lights?
Most assume that LED lights is only Havara Midrabanan. It's not Havara Deraisa. So we assume...
Most LEDs today are polymers, not metals.
So it's what?
Most modern LEDs are made out of polymers, not necessarily metals. So you're not necessarily getting metal.
Right.
There's something glowing, for sure, but it's not a metal.
Right. Let's say fluorescent LEDs. So we most assume that it's only the Rabbanan. Most assume that LED is only the Rabbanan. Fluorescent light also. Most assume it's only the Rabbanan. To turn on a light that has a filament, and the filament, the metal is heated till it starts to glow, so that's what Chaim Moshe's opinion has been accepted, that that's their ice. There's a big guy in here, and I saw Rav Moshe Weiss, who's a very original thinker, Lahokal and Lahachma. So he has an original opinion. He thinks LED lights are malacha derais. Okay? But I think most don't agree with him. Most assume that LED, usually he's Lahokal, but over here he's Lahachma. Okay? So most assume that it's only the Rabbana.
Yeah.
Fluorescent has a spark, not a real fire.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's assumed that it's also the Rabbana. I don't know. I don't know enough about the physics to... Oh, yeah? Okay. 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 Yeah, we mentioned before the Shaila, if you set up a system on Erev Shabbos, that the Melacha should begin in the middle of Shabbos, that there was a minority opinion in Europe that when the Shabbos clocks came out, they held that it was Osir, and then they found the Ksav Yad from the Rambam. The Rambam says like that. So that's why in the Sefer Marche Lev, Professor Lev wasn't the Rav, but it was quite a knowledgeable Chochem. So in the last Sefer that he put out, so he has the following suggestion. There was I have a relative who lives in Queens, and he's a Slonim Achasim. So the Slonim Rebbe would say, Shal Deshudas Torah in Yerushalayim, 20 years ago, Slonim Rebbe would say, Shal Deshudas Torah. Someone would write it up on Mitzvah Shabbos and send fax it to my relative. He would sit and read the Torah by Shal Shudas. He would read the Shal Shudas Torah by him. So that's very questionable. Is it permissible for the Chassid in Yerushalayim to fax something to New York? By him, it's Mitzvah Shabbos, by us, it's Shabbos. So he's doing a malach of Ksiva Bechol that's causing the malach of Ksiva to occur in the middle of Shabbos. But by him, it's Chok. By us, it's in the middle of Shabbos. So the Marche Lev, he suggests that too should be prohibited. Well, let's say in America, in the OU, I work in the OU. On Friday afternoon, when it's already Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael, we won't send any faxes to Eretz Yisrael. Because you're doing Malacha Bechol, which is causing Ksiva to occur in the middle of Shabbos. By us, it's not yet Shabbos, but the Ksiva is going to take place. Now it's the middle of Shabbos. Others think that that's utterly ridiculous. It's not utterly ridiculous. There's room, there's makam yesh. I wouldn't say yesh lahachma b'doichek, there's room to be machmer. So this in the Marcha Eleif, he has this suggestion that according to those who hold that it's not permissible to set up a system on Erev Shabbos when the Malacha begins in the middle of Shabbos, so to send a fax on Erev Shabbos that it's gonna arrive in a location where it's now Shabbos, that should be prohibited. So those who are machmer on that,
the reader isn't Nolad, the reader.
That's another issue. It should be Noilad Gomer. Tosfos on the first daf in Beitza has a chiddush that Noilad is a machlokes Rabbi Reb Shimon, whether it's Muftza, but Noilad Gomer, everybody agrees. If you had a book, let's say they print a newspaper on Friday night. So a lot of Jews arrange in advance, they're going to pick, there's an Erev, they arrange in advance, they're going to pick up their newspaper on Shabbos. So one could argue the point very strongly that a newspaper that's printed on Shabbos is Noilad Gomer. Even though the ink all existed before Shabbos, the paper existed, but the paper was a big roll, and the ink was a bottle of ink. And now it's a part of Chadosh's bowl account. Now it's in the form of a newspaper. It's a Gansan, a part of Chadosh's. So the Pashto says that that could be the sheet of paper that has the Rebbe Shalosh Shudas Torah that was faxed into the ark. Could be that should be Muktze because of Nele Goma. I would think so also. There's room to be Machmer on this. Okay. We raised all the issues. People want to raise additional issues. So, very good.